You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God, which you're about to receive.
I want to minister tonight something that's, you know, not real complicated. It's some verses that we're real familiar with, things that we've taught on, but I want to kind of connect some dots. You know, we'll hear a verse here and hear a verse there. We'll teach on a message and use this aspect of that scripture and maybe make this point. But then sometimes we just bring those together from different messages and make one big point. Sometimes I just have one point, but at least I have one. I've heard preachers don't even have a point. I want to talk to you now about who you are, about your identity, about what you say about yourself, how you see yourself. You know, a lot of people have things to say about you. Maybe your parents told you you were this or you were that, or you were great or you weren't great, or you'd never be anything, or this is what you ought to be. And I hope you had good parents. You know, but if you didn't, hallelujah, you got a new parent, and you got a daddy now that loves you if you're a Christian and believer in Jesus Christ. Amen. You got friends, you got relatives that talk about you. You got bosses that talk about you. You have psychiatrists and psychologists that talk about you and tell you who you are and explain to you your type personality. And, you know, and this is what you're going to do and this is what you're going to be. We take these aptitude tests and personality tests and find all these things out. And, you know, the sad part about that is if we're not careful, we'll actually believe all that. Mm-hmm. Nobody's really an expert on you, more expert on you than God is. I mean, it'd be like, you know, buying a car. You'd go out and get a car and you'd, you know, the car dealer, if it's a used car, will tell you all about it. But the car dealer really didn't drive the car. He didn't have it and it wasn't his car. You'd really have to get with the owner to find all the little intricacies of the car, the little quirks about the car. And then really, if you want to get down to it, the person that made the mechanics that put it all together, they can really tell you all about that type car, the type engine, and all the features it has on it, and so on and so forth. So you'd have to talk to a lot of people, and then you'd have to put all their opinions together and somehow come to the truth on a car. You can't just talk to one person to find out all there is to know about a car, somebody from the outside looking in. And yet we do that in life. We'll hear somebody say something about us, and it affects us forever. We actually go through an identity crisis. We think we are who they said we are, or we're who the government says we are, or we're who our parents said we are. And I hope they said good things. Stay with me on this point. But I know that's not always the case. I know there are people that come from good families or people that don't come from good families. But I'm here to encourage you. There is someone who knows all about you, who doesn't just know about a lot of cars, but knows every individual car, has observed you all your life, and actually the one that put you together. I mean, he's like the conglomeration of all those scenarios I just gave you. He would be the mechanic, the builder, the driver, the seller. I mean, every angle you want to look at, God knows. He knows everything about you. Has every hair on your head counted. Wow. I mean, there's nothing about you he doesn't know. And really, if we want to know who we are, I think it would be in our best interest to find out what he says about us, because he knows more about us than we do.
That's right.
So we need to go dig around and find out what he does say. Now this pattern you see in the scripture, I'm going to just stay in the New Testament tonight. We could go in the Old Testament, but I'll go to four passages if I have time. Depends on how well y'all respond and how much you cooperate with me tonight. But I've got four passages I want to try to get to. You see this pattern all through the scripture that people really begin to find out who they were when they found out what God said about them. See, I think a lot of times we have unseen potential, untapped potential, untapped gifts, untapped abilities, because we just don't think we can do that. And boy, if you see anything in the Bible, when God would call prophets, you know, they'd always crawfish first. They'd back up, you know, they'd say, oh, no, you got to be kidding. Me? Do that? No. No way. And we taught on just the other day about Moses, how when God called Moses, Moses objected four or five times. He objected to God calling him. God says, I've raised you up to go deliver the Egyptians. And he says, Lord, what am I going to say when I get there? And who am I going to tell them that sent me? And God would answer that question. He'd come up with something else. He said, well, Lord, you know, I stutter. You know, like God didn't know all this, and he's informing God, you know. And then finally, he just flat out denies. He says, Lord, don't send me. Just send somebody else. Hello? His opinion of himself was totally different than God's opinion of him. He actually was living way below his potential, his gifts, and his abilities. Because he did not see himself the way God saw him. I think that's very important. I want to make that point very strongly. This is not raising your self-esteem. This is not positive attitude. I'm not telling you to think more positive thoughts. I'm saying this. Get a hold of what God says about you. Start seeing yourself the way God sees you. Amen? And to do that, you're going to have to get in the Bible and find out what He does say. And actually, you're going to have to get in the New Testament, New Covenant. You're going to have to find out about the new birth after the cross, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Find out what you and I have in the Christ Jesus, who we are in Christ, what we have in Christ, and what we can do in Christ. Hallelujah. Now, let's look at Jesus for a moment here. In Luke, the fourth chapter, this is where Jesus started His ministry. After He was tempted of the devil 40 days in the wilderness, He hungered and thirsted, then He was tempted of the devil. Everybody say, of the devil. Okay, bad devil, good God. And He comes out after overcoming the devil, overcoming the temptation, not overcoming God. He didn't overcome God. He didn't resist God. He resisted the devil and overcame the devil. Are you with me? God didn't put Him through that pain and all that misery and challenge Him and test Him. No, the devil did. And Jesus overcame it with the Word. And it says in the 14th verse, well-known scripture, I mean, most of you could probably quote this, 14th verse, it says, then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit. Hallelujah, somebody. Hallelujah. I like that. He came in the power of the Spirit. You know, you can do the same thing. You can come in the power of the Spirit. He returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and news of Him went out through all the surrounding region. And He taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all. Jesus was a teacher. The Bible talks about Him preaching, yes, but it also talks about Him teaching. In fact, He taught more than He preached, if you just count the references. If you go through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, add it up all the times it says Jesus preached, and then add up all the times it says He taught. He taught more than He preached. There's a difference between teaching and preaching. I'm basically a teacher. I'm not a real preacher. Sometimes it comes on me. Hello. But I just don't have that bent, that propensity or proclivity. I don't lean that way. But sometimes it will come on me. And Jesus did both, because it says in Matthew 4:23, it says He went about their villages preaching, in their synagogues teaching, and He healed the sick that they were in. It says three things that He did. He preached, taught, and healed. And Matthew 9:35 repeats it. It says He went about their villages preaching the gospel of the kingdom, in their synagogues teaching the good news, and He healed all manner of sickness and disease among the people. So He did all three. But here it says He came and He taught in the synagogue, being glorified by all. So He came to Nazareth. Now this means that this is the place He was born, Nazareth. I get tickled. Some people say Jesus was a Nazarene. He didn't cut His hair. I don't know if He cut His hair or not, but He was not a Nazarene. He was from Nazareth. Nazarene was a certain vow that a Jew took where they would not eat meat or drink wine. Hello. And they wouldn't cut their hair. Jesus was not a Nazarene. He was from Nazareth. Have y'all got that straight? Okay, good. All right. Thought I'd throw that out there. You might want to throw it out too. It says He went in the synagogue on the Sabbath day, stood up to read, and He was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. Actually, it was a roll, and He would roll it out. I mean, they didn't have books like we have with pages. They would hand Him a scroll, and He would roll it out. And He'd roll it out, and He'd roll it out until He got to the place where He wanted to preach. In fact, it says here, and He was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah, and when He had opened the book, He found the place where it was written. Everybody say, found the place where it was written. Okay, now that's interesting. Because, you know, you could just get up and preach the Bible. I could get up here and just preach the Bible, service in and service out. Every service, just get up here and preach the Bible. And walk away and say, you know what, I preached the Bible. And not really be concerned about what I preached, where I preached, whether it connected with you, whether it helped you, whether it blessed you. I get to start in Genesis 1:1, say, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. Hallelujah, somebody. And the earth was without form and void and darkness upon the face of the deep. The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. Woo! You're not feeling it, are you? Okay. But bear in mind, that's Scripture. I just quoted Scripture. But it really didn't apply. I wasn't making a point. I was just quoting Scripture. See, every time I get up minister, I'm picking Scripture. Just like Jesus did. I'm looking specifically for something that's on my heart that God's dealing with me about to minister to you. that's going to help you and connect with you and change your life and challenge you. Jesus started his ministry. He didn't just start anywhere. He went in there and started looking for what God said about him. Because he's going to start his ministry. He wants to get this thing right. And boy, I tell you, the first thing you need to get right is you. The first thing you need to get over is yourself. That old saying, you know, you get over yourself. Everybody else got over you a long time ago. First thing you need to get delivered is from yourself. Hello. How do you do that? Well, you find out who you are. You find out who you really are. And you declare that. And you live that and you walk that out. That's what Jesus did. It says he took the scroll or the book and he found the place where it was written. In this case, specifically, where it was written about him. And he began to read this, and you know this, you've heard this over and over. We preached on these. You've heard these sermons. Many of ministers preached on this. Jesus started his ministry by saying, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, to recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those that are bruised, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Then he closed the book, gave it back to the attendant, sat down, and the eyes of all were in the synagogue that were in the synagogue were fixed on him, and he began to say to them, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. In other words, I am that man. That's me. Man, I like that. I love that. Jesus basically started his ministry by saying, God says this about me. And I know he's God. We understand that. We know he's God. We know he's man. But even he, God, the Son of God, started his ministry and declared to the people that he was who God said he was. And basically, I have come to do what God has sent me to do. Woo-hoo! Hallelujah. And I have what God says I have. Man, I'm not who you think I am or who maybe I thought I was or who the world thinks I am, but I am what God says I am. And this is what God says. He found the place. That's a good question. Have you found the place where it's written about you? And there's many things in the Bible about you. There's many things in the Word concerning you. If you've accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, the Bible says you're saved, you have eternal life, you're a new creature. Old things have passed away, all things become new. That's one thing we know that the Bible says. So I'm a new creature. I know that. I'm not who I used to be. I'm somebody else. I'm not that old man. I'm a new man. In fact, you know, Paul said it this way in Galatians 2:20. He says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That's a powerful scripture. But that's a statement that Paul made about himself. He has crucified his old man to the cross. He laid all that down, whoever he was before. He gave it all up and turned his life over to Jesus and he was crucified with Christ. And now he lives. Hallelujah. Yet not him, but Christ lives in him. Man, that's powerful stuff. So we find Jesus, you know, looking in here, finding out what God says, pinpointing it, speaking it and declaring it publicly. I love that. And starting his ministry out by first getting straight who he is according to God's word. You know, a great healing evangelist, T.L. Osborne, still alive. I think he's 86 years old. He's still alive. He has ministered to countless, literally countless millions of people around the world, doing crusades in third world countries and India and Africa and all over the world, and had miracles, salvations, healings, just a tremendous guy. T.L. Osborne is just a very uplifting, encouraging guy. He's just full of Jesus. I mean, if you ever hear him, he's an amazing guy to listen to. And if you ever hear him, you need to sit down because he's going to talk a long time. But anyway, he's got a lot to say. You'll feel like $1 million when you get through here. I mean, the guy he lifts you and encourages you with the word and tells you how Jesus loves you. But he tells a story when he was a young man, how he went to India. He was a very young man. Went off to, he felt like the call to preach, and he went over there and had some crusades and just fell flat on his face. Just did nothing. came back home defeated, came back to the United States, just on his knees crying out to God, God, what happened? How come there was no response? How come nothing happened? And he set himself to pray and seek God and find out what the deal was. He got in the Word and he began to pray and seek God and go over his life and go over what he did and how come it just didn't work. And he said something came alive to him. He said, I begin to see Jesus. He said, I'd been seeing Jesus come up off the pages of the Bible to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And I saw the Spirit of God on him. And I saw how he go in the villages and, you know, preach the gospel and raise the dead and cast out devils and heal the sick. And I saw the Son of God with the power and the glory of God upon him. He said, but what changed my life is when I saw T.L. Osborne come up out of the pages of the Scripture. He said, I begin to find me. I'd already found Jesus. I knew him, but I didn't know me. And I never saw me. And he said when he took that and went back to India, he took it by storm. He began to find the place where it's written about him. He began to see that he was supposed to go out and preach the gospel, that he could lay hands on the sick and they'd recover, that he was a new creature in Christ Jesus, that old things had passed away and he had become a brand new creature. And not only was Jesus a light, but Jesus had saved him and he was a light. Not only was Jesus a message, but now T.L. Osborne was a message. See, it's one thing to see Jesus. That's the start. That's how you get saved. Can't go to heaven without Jesus. But you need to take the next step and see yourself come up out of the pages of the Scripture. This really is no good until you make it personal. It was always intended as a personal letter, personal message to you and to me. You and I have an obligation to go find where it's written. And then we need to stand up and declare it. Amen? Turn over to Romans 4. Hallelujah. Is this helping you? Make it personal. You know, we can talk abstractly about God and about what God is and what he does. And, you know, he's omniscient, omnipotent, and all-powerful, all-knowing, and, you know, and invisible, invincible, and all these abstract terms. But see, even in the Bible, they didn't talk about God that way. I mean, David didn't say the Lord is a shepherd. He says he's my shepherd. I love that. He always made it personal. That'd be like me introducing Brenda. Hello, this is Brenda. She is a wife. Well, I mean, that's not real personal, is it? And it doesn't connect us at all. In fact, all you know is that Brenda is a wife. But the way I would introduce her and the way you would your wife, I hope. Hello, this is Brenda. This is my wife. And she would say, this is Michael. This is my husband. So this is not a God we're talking about, a healer we're talking, a Savior we're talking about. No, this is my God. This is my healer. This is my Savior. Hallelujah. Make it personal, see? Connect. You got to see yourself. You have to identify yourself in this or it's no good. That's right. It does you no good or nobody else any good until you identify yourself. Woo! Who are you? That's a good question. Do you know where, have you found where it's written about you? Notice Abraham in Romans the 4th chapter. You'll see a pattern here begin to emerge. We just taught on this not too long ago about walking in the steps of the faith of our father Abraham. Abraham, just in a picture, is our father. We know God's our father. But in likeness, in like action, in like faith, he is the father of all those that believe, the Bible says. That we are all the children of Abraham by faith. It has nothing to do with a Jewish bloodline. It has to do with a faith bloodline. And so we're all Abraham's children by faith. And everyone who walks in the steps of the faith of this father Abraham will benefit from what he got. It says that in the 12th verse. We've taught on that before. But notice this 17th verse. As it is written, I have made you, God speaking, I have made you, Abraham, a father of many nations. In the presence of him whom he believed, God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. I love that. Who, contrary to hope, in hope believed. This is Abraham now. Think about this. Abraham, contrary to hope, in hope believed. So that he became the father of many nations, according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. Now think about that. Abraham had heard from God what God's view of him was, what God said he was, and he latched on to it. God said, you are the father of many nations. But Abraham also understood he had to claim that. He had to believe that. And against hope, contrary to hope, being 99 years old when God shared that with him. He was 100 when Isaac was born. Being 99 years old, it says against hope or contrary to hope, and hope believes so that he might become what was spoken about him. Wow. You can go your whole life, God saying things about you, and never become what God says about you. Because we don't believe what God says about us. All that time God's saying these things about us, yet we never become those things he says about us because we don't believe. Man, I don't want to be in that category. And obviously, Abraham heard what God said. Good question. Have we heard what God said about us? And he believed what God said. That puts it in another category also, because we can go to church and hear what God says Sunday in, Sunday out, Wednesday night. You know, we can actually read our Bible every day and just read it and see it and even say it in one sense, but then never really get a hold of it, never really believe it. Walk away and act like it's not true. Act like we're not who God says we are. Act like we can't really serve him. We can't really forgive people. We can't really live holy. We can't really do any of these things he says we can do because we've heard what he said, but we really don't believe what he says. Are you with me? But Abraham determined, you know what? I'm going to believe this. Contrary to hope, I'm going to believe in hope. And you may feel hopeless. I've been there. I've been in situations I felt pretty hopeless when I look at what God says and I look at the way I am. And I think, God, I can never do that. Or I'm having trouble in this area or that area. It seems like I keep doing this over and over again. And you can give up hope and lose hope. But against hope, contrary to hope, let me encourage you, in hope, believe. If God said it, don't you want to become what God says? It doesn't always happen overnight. You don't experience it the next week. As soon as you hear the message, you're a changed man. Superman. One sermon and I'm changed. Well, no, it takes some working on it. You got to work on it. You got to say it. You got to keep believing. You got to look yourself in the mirror of God's Word. And sometimes you got to make some adjustments. Just like you look in a mirror and your hair's not fixed and there's something dirt on your face. You know, you don't argue with a mirror. Can you imagine starting your day out that way? No way! I am not that ugly. Hello. No, you start making adjustments. You start saying, you know what, I can change this and I can change that. See, God has a view of you. Whew. Y'all getting this? Okay. But you got to find the place, just like Jesus did. You got to hear what he says, just like Abraham did, and believe it. In fact, I'm thinking of this. Don't turn. I'm only going to turn to four passages. I told you four passages. That's all I'm going to turn to. But I'm going to quote this. In 2 Corinthians 4:13, don't turn there. But 2 Corinthians 4:13, Paul said this. He said, we all have in the same spirit of faith. According as it is written, I believed, therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak. That's awesome. I love that. That pretty well sums up Bible faith in a nutshell. It's got to first be written. It doesn't matter what you think. What matters is what God says. It doesn't matter what you want. What matters is what God says. It doesn't matter what you like to happen or what you like to be. What matters is what God says. But that's just the first step. See, the spirit of faith is first according to it's written. Then it's believed and then it's spoken. Amen. Notice Jesus found the place, obviously believed it, and spoke it. Notice Abraham believed. Well, you know he spoke it. You know he said it because every time they asked him his name, he had to say Abraham, which is father of many nations. In fact, God had to get Abraham to see himself differently than he had been seeing himself, or he was never going to have Isaac. Because the way Abraham saw himself and saw Sarah, the way he saw the situation, it was never going to happen. That's how Hagar came along and Ishmael came along. Yeah, we often talk about Abraham believing for 25 years. He did not believe God for 25 years. He didn't really get in faith to that last year when God changed his name. He was 99 years old. He was Abram. And God says, your name now is Abraham. And when he began to see himself differently, and he began to say about himself what God said about him. He changed his name. Are you get the impact of that? He changed his name. He was no longer who he was. He was no longer Abram. He was Abraham. And everybody you talk to, hello, I'm Abraham. I'm Abraham. You address me as Abraham now. I want you to say to me, I'm Abraham. I'm what God says I am. Didn't mean it to rhyme. It just worked out that way. I'm Abraham. I'm who God says I am. And when he did that, within a year's time, he got that miracle and Isaac was born. But the miracle first had to take place in Abraham. He had to see himself the way God sees himself. The biggest miracle in your life is going to be when you get a hold of who God says you are. That's the biggest miracle. When you really begin to see yourself the way God sees you, then you begin to do what God says you can do. You begin to move into things that God wants you to move in. But not until you see yourself the way God sees you. And to do that, you've got to find out what he says. You've got to believe what he says. You've got to say what he says. Spirit of faith. According as it is written, I believe, therefore have I spoken. Turn over to 1 Corinthians 15. Is this helping you? It's a pattern we see all through the Scripture here. 1 Corinthians 15 chapter. Here's Paul speaking. And I've already mentioned Paul. You know, he's the one that said that by the Holy Ghost. 2 Corinthians 4:13. He also is the one that said, of course, wrote that about in Romans about Abraham. Hallelujah. And he's the one that also gave us 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things pass away, all things become new. Now listen, if anybody had a sordid past, it would have been Paul. Paul's a persecutor of Christians. He was standing there when they stoned Stephen in Acts the 7th chapter. And they laid Stephen's clothes at Saul's feet. Are you with me? That's his past. That's who he was. That's not who he is now. And he mentions that in passing here, 15th chapter. Notice what he says in the... he talks about how Jesus was seen of 500 brethren at one time, then of James, the apostles, and Peter. And he says here, the 9th verse, "For I am the least of the apostles who am not worthy to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God." I think this is interesting because he's kind of fallen back into his past and his thinking and seeing himself for a moment the way he was. And yet that was the wrong way to think. Oh, it's okay to rehearse it and say it as a matter of biography, autobiography, I guess you'd say, or as a matter of history. But he no longer was who he used to be. Notice what he says, "For I am the least of the apostles who am not worthy to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God." 10th verse, but. Now when I say but, when somebody's talking, that means I'm fixing to negate or disagree with what was just said. When you're talking to somebody who says, "Yeah, but," then you're negating everything you said before you said but. Y'all get it? Yeah, but. You getting this? And Paul caught himself. He was saying, "No, I'm not even worthy. You know, I persecuted the church of God, but I am what I am by the grace of God." Woo! Amen. Just stirs me every time I read that. I still get excited after reading that for over 30 years. He is saying, you know, I may have been lost and undone. I may have been wicked and cruel and corrupt. But you know what I am now? I am by the grace of God. By the grace of God, I'm saved. By the grace of God, I'm a new creature. By the grace of God, I'm forgiven. By the grace of God, I'm washed in the blood. By the grace of God, I'm going to live forever. By the grace of God, I am what I am. See, he knew who he was. Even in slipping over and telling about his past, he was quick to say, "But I am what I am by the grace of God." Man, I love that. I just love that. What are you? It's a good question. Are you who you used to be? Are you that kid that grew up, you know, and became this person that you are? I'm not saying those things don't affect us, and I don't say they're a part of our personalities and so on and so forth, and they have some impact. But I'm telling you this, if you're born again, if you're washed in the blood, if you've been touched by the grace of God, then you are who you are now by the grace of God. You are a world overcomer. You are more than a conqueror. Greater is he that's in you now than he that's in the world. Hallelujah. You now can do all things through Christ who strengthened you. You now are strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Now you are who you are by the grace of God. You may not know that, but that's who you are. Amen. You may not be benefiting from that. You may not be walking in that, but that's who you are nonetheless. Let God be true and every man a liar. Are you with me? So now we have an obligation, as Jesus did, to go find the place where it's written. Or an obligation, as Abraham did, to against hope, believe in hope, that you might become what God says. When it doesn't look like it can be, God still said it. It's still the truth. Or we have an obligation, as Paul did, when we sometimes lapse over into our old man or old past or our weaknesses, to stop that thing and say, yeah, but, you know, whoa. Hold it. Are you with me? No. No, I am what I am by the grace of God. That's who I used to be. That's not who I am now. When you want to go out there and take somebody's head off. No, whoa, wait a minute. Slow down here. Wait a minute. No, that's who I used to be. That's not who I am now. But I got these feelings. Well, you need to overcome those feelings. You need to work on those feelings. You need to start seeing yourself the way God sees you. And I know it doesn't happen overnight, but you're going to have to start looking in the mirror of God's Word, and you're going to start believing what God says and start acting on what God says, and you will become what God says you are. You know, I used this example before, and I think it bears repeating. When you begin to act out the Word, when you don't feel like it, when you don't, it doesn't seem like it's true, it doesn't seem like it's you, yet God says it's you. And you do it because He says so. And you got enough sense to know He's smarter than you are. Surely you got that much sense. A couple of you do anyway. You do it because He says do it. You say it because He says to say it. You forgive because He says forgive, whether you feel like it or not. You love because He says love, whether you feel like loving or not. You're kind and you do kind things when you feel like doing mean things. You don't take offense when you'd like to take offense. You, in essence, act it out. Even the Bible says put on the new man. It's a put on. Okay. But the difference between doing this and acting out a part, here's Kendall and Liz graduated from acting school, and they act all kinds of parts, you know, in plays and movies and so on and so forth. But, you know, when it's all over, they're still back, they go back to themselves. In the world, that's called acting. But in God, it's different. When you act out faith and you act out love and you act out forgiveness, you know what happens? You change into it. And you don't go back to who you were. You start out acting, yeah. You start out saying it by faith, sure. You start out just stepping on it because God says so, and you don't feel one inkling of love or faith or whatever. But you, God said it. I'm going to do it because God says to do it. I know it doesn't look that way. But this is what God says. And you know what happens? You start changing into this from glory to glory. Yeah. You behold as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, and you're changed to that very image. Amen. Because you make a choice. I'm who God says I am. I'm not even who I feel like I am. I'm who God says I am.
Yeah. That's right. Amen. That's good.
How many times you don't feel like what God says you are? Man, every day. Come on, it happens all the time. But if you'll do what God says to do, you know what? Your feelings will change.
Yes, that's right.
And then one day you'll look back and see how far you've come. Just don't get cocky. You still got a good ways to go. But you will look back and it'll look like a dream. I think back on my past before I knew Jesus. Now, I've been saved over 30 years. And I still have a long ways to go. But I think back on the things I did and the way I thought and the things I said before I got saved. And you know what? I don't even know who that person is. I don't even have a clue who that is. My name was on that person. You know, I mean, people could come up and say, that was you, but it wasn't me. That was another person. I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus now. I'm totally different. I don't even think that way anymore. Hallelujah. I don't even enjoy those things I did. I don't even want to do those things. The things that gave me pleasure then, I detest now. The things I detested then, I love now. The only thing I hung on to is I still love turnip greens. I liked them then. I still like them now. But anyway. Are you with me? I changed by beginning to act on what God said and saying what God said. Now, I got a long ways to go, but there are some things I did center in on. I found where it was written about me. I found out what God said Oh, I'd heard what my parents said. Thank God for my parents. I'm not against them. I heard what my brother and sister said. I heard what my friend said and my enemy said. And I heard what my employee said and everybody else said. But really, when it comes down to it, what matters is what God says.
That's right.
And I begin to pursue that. And I begin to rehearse that. And I let those words echo in my head. Instead of those other words, you're no good, you're never going to make it, you're never going to be anything, you never do any good in your life, you're worthless. And hello. And my parents didn't tell me that. Don't equate that to my parents. I'm just saying, you hear those words from people, and they just stick. And you know what I'm talking about. Let this echo in your head and in your heart, what God says about you. Okay, one more example, and we'll wrap this up. John, first chapter. So find the place where it's written about you. Find what God says about you. There's a lot of He says about you. I mean, you go through the Gospels, go through the epistles. That's the writings of Paul and James and John, and go personalize these things. I think of John 3:16. That's a real good starter right there. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. You say, well, what do you mean? Well, make it personal. What does it say there? It says, if you believe on Jesus, you will not perish, but you'll have everlasting life. Do you believe on Jesus? I do. I believe. How about you?
Yes.
Okay, so now I'm going to say what God says about me. I believe on Jesus, therefore I will not perish. I have everlasting life. I can start saying that. I can make that personal. I have found the place where it's written about me. There's a scripture that's written personally to me. Why? Because I believe. I qualify for that verse. And I start going through the scriptures where He says other things about those that believe or those that call. Whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Romans 10:13, there's a good one. Well, I've called on the Lord. I remember when I called on Jesus 30-something years ago. I called on the name of the Lord and He saved me. Therefore, I am saved. I found the place where it's written about me. How do you know you're saved? Because it says so right there. I found it. Now see, there's other things God says. Just go find them and then go say them. Now, in John, the Pharisees came to John. John, the first chapter, 19th verse, says, now this is the testimony of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who are you? Good question. Do you know who you are? I think the church is going through an identity crisis. I think we don't know who we are. I think many of us are confused about who we are. We play so many different roles. I'm not talking about acting per se, but in life we play so many different roles that we forget who we are. We forget who we really are. Well, he says, here it says, who are you? 20th verse, he confessed and he did not deny, but confessed, I'm not the Christ. Boy, that's a good one. That's a big step in your life when you realize you are not the Christ, okay? Everybody say, I'm not the Christ. Well, let's get that one straight right off the bat. You're not God and you're not the Christ. I'm not the Christ. 21st verse. And they ask him, what then? Are you Elijah? And he said, I am not. Are you the prophet? And he answered, nope. Then they said to him, who are you? That we may give an answer to those who sent us. Listen carefully to this. What do you say about yourself? Wow. Man, that's a good question. That is a great question. In fact, you ought to make that personal. Ask yourself that. What are you saying about yourself? Do you have a tendency when things go wrong, you mess up two or three times, you call yourself an idiot? Hello. I'm so stupid. Hello. Man, I just can't get this right. I can't do anything right. Hey, quit saying that. Quit saying that. Why can't I? Whoa. Stop saying that. Well, what do you want me to say? Well, it's not what I want you to say. It's what God wants you to say. Okay? Yeah, I don't want you to walk out here and say, Pastor told me to do this. I want you to go out here and say, I saw in the Bible where I need to do this. This is what God wants us to do. What should you say? I think you should say what God says. I mean, if you're going to agree with somebody, would you rather agree with... I mean, there's several people talking in the room. There's God talking. There's your body talking. There's the people that hate you talking. And then there's all those mess-ups talking. Now, who you want to buddy up with? I just kind of think you ought to buddy up with God. I think if God makes a statement amidst all these voices, I think God's voice and God's statement is the correct one. When your body's saying one thing, your emotions are saying one thing, the world's saying one thing, God's saying one thing, come on, you can't put all those on the same level. There's nobody like God, there's nobody like Jesus, and there's nobody that knows what God knows. And He has your best interest in mind.
Amen.
So here's what you ought to say. You ought to say what God says. Amen? So they ask Him, they said, what do you say about yourself? That's interesting. You know, He could have said a lot of things. He said, well, you know, I like peanut butter. Let's see, my favorite book is, he could have said all kinds of things. They said, what do you say about yourself? He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord, as the prophet Isaiah said. Let's break it down. You want me to break it down? Real simple. I am who God says I am. That's what He said. He said, I am what is written about me. And you know what? John found it. He found where it was written about him. He found where he was the one that came before the Lord, was the forerunner, the proclaimer of Jesus, right before the Lord comes to make His pastor. He found it. He found it. Praise God when you find yourself in the Word. He found it and He said, I am that man. I am the one God says I am. I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as the prophet Isaiah said, or I am, as it is written of me in the Bible. Now, what do you say about yourself? Woo! Powerful question. I hope you got the right answer here. You should be saying what God says about you. Of course, now, if you're going to say what God says about you, let's just take it a little further. You kind of have to find out what that is. So you'd have to go study it, wouldn't you? You'd have to go look in to find out what it is. Once you found it, you'd have to start saying it, wouldn't you? You'd have to believe it. According to it's written, I believe, therefore I have spoken. And if you do that, you'll be in real good company, because this is exactly what Jesus did. It's what Abraham did. It's what Paul did. And it's what John did. And I believe it's what we should do. Amen? Find out what God says about you. Find the place where it's written about you.